Sie hören Sport und Musik.
Das Spiel ist aus! Deutschland ist Weltmeister!
Mario Götze! Mario Götze!
Tonight, whether you call it football, football, or soccer, a German-American and a German in America dare to call it Fußball. German Fußball from an American point of view. Let's add some buns to that hamburger and join them for the Schnitzel Boys Deutschland Hour.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. It is the Schnitzel Boys Deutschland Hour. Good evening, Stefan.
Good evening, Björn.
Oh. I can barely hear you.
Can you hear me now?
Oh, now you're good. Okay. Oh, that was
something big with the music. I'm usually quiet with the music. How are you doing?
All right. I am good. I'm good. I was a little late on the trigger there. My cat is distracting me. Anyway, hello. I am doing great. How are you doing?
Pretty good. Running around. We were talking a little bit. I was a little busy this weekend. So, in the lives of independent Fußball pundits, there's a lot of hours needed for watching Fußball. However, we're also human beings, so sometimes those hours are limited. I went to a Persian wedding on Saturday, Bjorn.
A Persian wedding? That's exciting.
Yeah. It was really exciting because I went to a wedding of a friend of mine, and I knew the bride was half a Persian, half Iranian.
Uh-huh.
And her family showed up. It was like a lot. And so in this wedding party, it was a really beautiful wedding. There were a lot of like young improvisers and young 20, 30-somethings. Mm-hmm. I guess we're all 30-somethings now. No one's 20-something anymore.
I'm not, but who's counting?
I meant for more my community.
No, I know.
The half of us were like that, and then the other half were a bunch of older folk from Iran in their 50s and 60s. Now, who do you think crushed the dance floor at the reception?
The older people.
100%.
Listen,
the Persians own that floor.
I have a whole theory about that. There is about the two phases of dancing in one's life. One dances a lot as a young person, and then it hits a lull. Like somewhere in your mid to late 20s. 30s maybe, you don't, the dancing sort of stops for most people. You don't go to clubs anymore. You don't get invited to a lot of dance parties necessarily. So there is a lull, and you may think that your dancing days, like the age that you're in, you may think that your dancing days are at an end. But wait, only wait until you hit your like late 40s, maybe early 50s, and you're going to get a second wind. Like, that is what happened to my parents. They all of a sudden, once they hit that age, it took nothing. They would just, like, any kind of event, somebody put music on, they would just throw the chairs back, and I'm just like, what's happening? And not just my, it's not specific to my parents necessarily. Like, I think that generation at some point comes back, and it sounds like the people you're talking about were of that age group, perhaps?
The Persian elders, yeah. But it might also, two things about that. Firstly, you're 100% right. In the deep shelves of the Stefan Schnitzel household, you can find videotape of all my great uncles and great aunts, all these old Germans in their 70s and 80s, the gray hair and my balding and everything, and in a little hall, you know, event hall, dancing the night away to Cotton Eye Joe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the song Cotton Eye Joe.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they're just in a row, just like crushing it.
I mean, there's a whole genre. Yeah, Cotton Eye Joe, I guess. Or there's a whole cottage industry of German or European techno-ish kind of tunes where people, I mean, the Rudi Völler thing is, you know, that we've played here is of that ilk. You know, those are all designed to get old people out of their chairs. Yeah.
Whatever you give them, like if it's I'm just Ken, something, something, something.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
They're going to take it within a day.
They're going for
it'll
it.
Be playing on
there's
going to
be the techno.
I'm just Ken.
Yeah.
It's just they're ready to go. It's ready to go with that stuff. But real quick, then cut to the Persians, though, the elderly Persians.
Okay.
They played to a very specific song, like Middle Eastern music,
mm-hmm.
and they had scarves out. They brought the scarves
out.
Oh,
that's
nice. And I asked, and there was a guy, I'm telling you, he was in his 60s. He was on that floor for 5 hours straight, dude. He was like my hero.
He's going to be in the oxygen tent for the next 3 weeks.
for the next 3 weeks. But he taught me how to dance like a Persian, by the way.
Oh.
Quick crash course.
Very nice. So
first thing you do is you put your hand on the back of your head. It's a little visual for the podcast owners. And you go away like you smell, kind of. You go away and you smell.
That's how he explained it to you?
Well, this is step one.
Okay.
Right? So the beat's in your hips, right? Downbeat. Upbeat,
go
downbeat,
away,
upbeat,
you
downbeat.
Smell.
Go away, you smell for 2 seconds. Then you switch arms. You switch arms and you extend and you change the light bulb. And you change the light bulb. Go away, you smell. Go away, you smell. Change the light bulb. Change the light bulb. Go away, you smell. Go away, you smell. Change the light bulb. And then later they got scarves out to add the. You can pull scarves eventually.
That sounds amazing.
And that's Persian dancing. And whatever. I had a blast. I had a good time. But all this being said, I was busy. Drove to the venue and stuff. So I unfortunately didn't get a great rundown. Well, but apparently, Bayern München is back.
We'll get you caught up. I mean, is it always about like? This is just, it's a tiring, I mean, I guess it's inevitable, but the narrative is tiring. Bayern, either it's like total disaster or back on top this week.
Well, that's their fault. They lose 3-0 or they win 8-1. I mean, it's one
right.
or the other.
Well, I mean, it started with the Champions League. That was the real do or die, game on Wednesday. They had a good lead early, and then it was like, is it going to be a cruise, or are they going to make it interesting? Is Tati Castellanos going to get a brace and kick Bayern out of the Champions League in stoppage time? No,
bench.
That did not happen.
Brace,
it was a cruise.
A brace bench.
What's that? Say again.
From the bench, Tati Castellanos?
No, he came in. Chira
Mobley was injured. Other than that, he would have sat his butt on the bench. But your point is taken. Would Tati Castellanos score the inevitable brace from the bench that he's destined to do? But no, Bayern München had a really confident home win. It was like the Bayern of old. This Lazio doesn't have this game.
This is another, I don't know if we have we have time for a short sidebar here. You know, my constant... you know, not everybody has to go to Europe. Why do you have to go to, I don't know, like, what was wrong
Tati?
With... Yeah.
No, Tati's, I'm joking. Tati's at Lazio, man. He's crushing it. He's in Italy.
He's not crushing
He needs to
he's
be
not
where he's
crushing
at
it. He's getting Ciro Immobile's garbage time. He gets like 15 minutes
Immobile.
A game. And, I mean, I'm sure he makes more money. I guess that's always. I don't know how much more.
I'm going to be honest with you. Are you talking to the point of view of an NYCFC fan that would love him back? Or are you talking from the point of view of him and getting the best out of his career?
Well, obviously, you know, the point of view of the NYCFC fan is why I even follow. The only reason I know who Lazio's backup striker is who comes in for 15 minutes a game is because he used to play for my team. Otherwise, I would have even no idea who Tati Castellanos is. So,
right.
So obviously, there is a homer aspect to it. But I mean, I think it's also a real question. It's not just a question for American players. It's for everybody. It's like, and this.
Yeah, but he did it right. He's doing great. He crushed it in Spain.
He crushed it. He did well. He did well in Girona.
Traditional Serie A club, one of the bigger ones, and you know it's a Nazi club. We'll get into that in a bit. But like it's still a traditional club.
Yeah, everybody hates Lazio.
Ciro Immobile is Italy's best striker, and Tati Castellanos, an excellent player. He's his backup. He's a side guy. Sure, he'll get some trash, but he is. He's going up that ladder, and he's where he needs to be. And if he wants to be on the national team, he wants the best of his career, he's doing exactly it correctly.
Yeah, but he's not getting on the national team. Guess what? It's not happening.
If he benches Chito and starts scoring some hat tricks, why not?
Yeah, but he's not. And he's no spring chicken. This is where... Anyway, we don't have to belabor this. We talked about this before, but... I mean, this is, I think, where we just disagree. You say there's this ladder and you just got to bang your head against it until you know you don't have it. And I don't agree. I think, like, sometimes you can also just leave well enough alone. Like, if you're in a pro club, you're a circus. Like I've said before many times, it's like, for a lot of people who are not Messi, who are not, like, at the absolute top, fit and how everything vibes is very important, and it's not necessarily transferable in this easy way. I'm not saying, I mean, obviously, yeah, Tati Castellanos, he was a Golden Boot winner. He really wanted to go. He wanted to play for Argentina. He had this dream. Nobody was going to hold him back. He is not an example of somebody who's doing it wrong. I'm not saying that. But it did make me think, like, was he really so much worse off in MLS?
Why? Bjorn, then let me ask you this. Why do you think he went to New York? Why?
Why did he went to New York? Well, as a stepping stone, is that what you're going to say?
To go to Europe.
To go to, yeah.
Right. It's like, this is a deal, and go to New York, owned by City Football Group, and then go to Europe for them. That's exactly what he did. Otherwise, if the offer was, you can come to New York City, and then, like, we have no promises to you to move to Europe, you have to stay in New York City, he would never have come. He would have just stayed in Argentina. He can do that in Argentina. He didn't need to do that in New York. He can do the Homer stuff at Argentina.
Probably. Yeah, I guess I'm inviting everyone to question this idea that this is the only way to go. Maybe being a pro in the 10th best league in the world is also fine. Because it's like this experience of failure, you know, like, it does something to you. You're like, you know, you've been the best on every team you've ever been on until you're not. And then, I mean, Jimmy Sands is going through that. He clearly is having a bit of a tough time. He's not doing so well. He got a weird red card. He has some, he was a captain for a little bit. Now he's not. I don't know. It's like, it's not like you just kind of go through it unscathed when you go through that experience of actually knowing that you're not good enough. I don't know. Yeah, this is my sidebar.
USA hour. Sidebar. We're on the sidebar.
We can go back. Yeah. Let's go back to Bayern.
Good point. I love to touch on that. Cause, you know, I'll touch on that later, but pretty much Jimmy Sands and Tati are maybe a little bit different, but we don't have to get into that.
Absolutely. 100%. That's what I said. Tati is not an example. Tati was very clear cut, the situation. He was, you know, he had a lot of good offers in La Liga and, like, top leagues. Now he's in Serie A for a good team. Like, absolutely fantastic. Jimmy Sands went to Rangers. Yeah, it's two apples and oranges. Completely true.
But anyway, so Bayern München were able to beat Lazio at home, and it was very confident. It was like, there was a vibe with Bayern. All year I've been watching them a little slow behind slowing their pace. This is the first game of the year where I'm just like, oh, this is what Bayern's supposed to look like. They're supposed to be this confident, this dominant. They're supposed to be winning 3-0 at home against Lazio. And then over the weekend, they destroyed Mainz, which they did before Darmstadt. Yeah. But even with Darmstadt, it took them till the second half for that to happen. The first half was three red cards and a 0-0, if you remember. The second half was all of a sudden this goal explosion.
Yeah.
So even that was still a little off.
Yeah, but there clearly was some relief there where everybody all of a sudden was like, yeah, Harry Kane got like six of them. No.
He got a hat trick in both these games, against Mainz and against Darmstadt.
Yeah.
So it's good when the goals are scoring, Harry Kane's scoring them. He just broke two records this past weekend. He broke the most multi-goal games in a Bundesliga season or in a debut season or something.
Mm-hmm.
And some other record. I'm just
going to It's not going to matter. It's not going to matter until he wins something, because otherwise it's the Harry Kane curse is alive and well. But now it's Champions League or nothing, because the Bayer Leverkusen did not blink and beat Wolfsburg. Kind of a workmanlike performance, I would say. It wasn't their most inspiring win, but they won the game. Wolfsburg got a red card, I think, so it wasn't really in question, even though the second goal came late. And so, yeah, they still have that 10-point lead at the top with 9 games to go. They're not going to give that up.
Yeah, and Bayer Leverkusen also had Europe this midweek, because they're also in Europe.
Oh, yeah, that's right. And they had a game tie, on Thursday. I believe, in the Europa League. Yeah.
It was interesting, because I think they were down 2-0 at the half, and then they got the better players off the bench and tied it up. So they're still undefeated. And they're still... Who are they playing in the Europa League?
Is it PSV? Is it...
It was a club that they were supposed to be the favorites of. I think all the favorites of. It is...
Karabakh. Karabakh?
Karabakh.
Karabakh. Karabakh Agdam of Azerbaijan. Yeah, you would think that they would probably beat them.
Yeah, that should be them.
But Freiburg got a win at home against West Ham. That's not bad.
Not too shabby.
Not too shabby. And I thought that on short rest, they would perhaps be easy pickings for Bochum this weekend, but not the case. We are back. Bochum is, since beating Bayern, has gone the opposite way of Bayern. They've lost three in a row and are now sort of back. I mean, protected by the fact that the bottom three teams are still bad.
Right, in their own little hole. The other European game I want to touch on is the Leipzig-Real Madrid series.
Yeah, that was the most exciting one, really. They had a real shot at that.
I felt like they missed it. Like they should. Yeah, I felt in a way. Should have done it. I mean, felt like Leipzig should have won.
We have to preface this by saying Real Madrid has looked like this in the Champions League for the last like 5 or 6 years. They've had a lot of matchups where it's like they're not the better. They're getting outplayed, and then somehow. They score these goals against the run of play constantly, which obviously, you know, cumulatively means it's not against the run of play because they do this all the time. And this was again one of them, but it really looked like they had a shot at it, and I think they're going to be a little upset.
They should be. It's also a little odd because towards the end of the game they got the equalizer. And then it was like one goal and they win. And it was like 20 minutes left. And I just felt they weren't really playing with the urgency you'd expect in that situation. Maybe I'm wrong. But
it seemed like they had a good handle on Real. You know, they didn't want him. I think Real Madrid was also sort of set up a little poorly. They had Jude Bellingham in the first half as the second striker. That didn't really work. And
that was weird, yeah.
So they had some... they're having some injury issues, and so they had some tactical problems. But, yeah, I thought they had a good mix going, you know, between controlling the game, not letting... This is on the road, you know? Like, it's pretty good.
Right.
It was a pretty good performance, and they did generate some chances and just couldn't... I mean, what's his name? Openda had, like, in the first half, had a bunch of... good looks and just really looked like he was just overwhelmed by the moment in a weird way, like because he's been so good in the Bundesliga, but this was sort of like almost like a bridge too far. It's like he was like the cartoon coyote who like runs off the cliff and everything was fine, and then he looked down and was like, oh, I can't do it.
Wiley the Coyote,
thank you.
Come on, Wiley. And his Acme products. Willy Orban, after his equalizer, he had a couple of other chances. They had some good chances. And it was like...
It could have happened.
Real Madrid got by on the skin of their teeth. And again, I hate to bring this up, but I keep watching the replay of that called back goal from the first leg, and I still don't understand why it was called back. I mean, he didn't look offside. Was he? I mean, I guess he was, but all I'm saying is that just adds another, that's part of the equation. Real Madrid just squeaked by with a home draw against Leipzig, and they called it a wake-up call, I guess. So Real Madrid did get through, but Leipzig should have been very proud of their performance, and honestly, Leipzig could have had it.
It was an exciting game to watch, and they did well. I mean, I do kind of like this Leipzig team. The whole they have a lot of interesting players, and I enjoy watching them. And
also, they have the benefit of not having a lot of focus on them this year.
Mm-hmm.
Bayern Munich, Bayer Leverkusen, Dortmund, Stuttgart are taking all the media spotlight. So RB Leipzig can kind of not be, maybe they're not under the same pressure or look they usually are. They can just plod away doing their thing.
They also had a bit of a slow start. They are a little behind. I mean, they're not, I guess they're now, let me see. Oh, they are seven points behind Stuttgart, 1 point behind Dortmund. I mean, they're playing for a Champions League spot for sure, but they're not part of, I mean, I guess the title race is over anyway. I think Leverkusen is running away with it. And then it's going to be, we'll see who gets the Champions League spots. Frankfurt is behind. Frankfurt got a big win over Hoffenheim. Yeah, and at the bottom, the bad teams just keep losing. I guess Köln did not actually. That was an exciting game. The Gladbach-Köln, the local, the carnival derby. That was very exciting and very up and down. Ended 3-3. So Köln did get a point there, but Darmstadt in last place. They have 13 points. They're not coming back. And I guess Mainz at this point also is.
The sad reality of the, but let's be honest with ourselves here and our listeners, okay? The sad reality of the Bundesliga is most of it, it's pretty much settled right now. The top
I
is down, the bottom.
So, I mean, I don't know if the way Bochum are playing, I'm a little worried. It's like they've just been, I mean, this Freiburg game was not good. Like the road team on short rest, you want to do a little better than this. So, but
let me rephrase. It's going to take, we have 10 rounds left, right? Or 9, I believe.
9, yeah.
We have 9 rounds left. It's going to take a few rounds for anything to change in the bottom of the top. Let's put it that way. It's going to take a few rounds.
No, fair point.
So, yeah. So there you go.
That's true.
I guess what are they? I guess just European clubs fighting for Europe.
So you go to more weddings. It's fine. Like, there's not a whole lot.
I love it. I'm in a phase where I'm always wanting to dance. But I never get to dance because I'm not someone who goes to clubs alone. And I don't have a friends group that goes clubbing either.
I mean,
so the only way I can dance.
Who goes clubbing in their 30s? I guess some people do.
But I also never went clubbing in my 20s. I was just not part of a club. Even though I wanted to.
I had Logo. Logo Bochum. They still have an Instagram account, actually.
Is that your club?
The club that I used to go to, they still have an Instagram account of pictures from those days. They were very, it was a legendary place.
Wait a minute, are you in those?
No, I'm not. I mean, I was not that much of a regular. What's
first
that?
Of all, they can't still have an Instagram. They make it seem like back when you were
Right, days. Well, right. This is an Instagram account that somebody started. To commemorate this long forgotten and closed, I mean closed but not forgotten apparently, place.
And you're not in any of the photos, you're saying? You're not rocking?
I'm not in, I'm not, as far as I saw, I'm not in those. I'm not in those pictures.
Dancing out to, what year would this be? 1991?
Something like that. Yeah, it would have been 89, 90, 91, 92, in those days.
Hadaway? What are we talking about? Hadaway? What are we talking here?
No. This was indie rock. This was an indie. That's actually. I think why they have a, and I shared their playlists with some of my friends, and we were in agreement that this was a very specific. They had a very specific taste for indie rock, kind of a little bit of goth. But not like, not The Cure, more obscure, like more, a little bit more towards The Cult, not The Cure. And a little bit of punk rock, a little bit of early hip hop. Like, it was a very eclectic, but guitar kind of rock centric place. So it was not like a rave place. It was very much guitars. And so there was a goth contingent, but also just some indie rock. Anyway, whatever. Logo.
So the discotheque that I think of.
Yeah.
Not like, oh, discotheque. All right, well, cool. Hans Wolf, good evening, folks. Hans Wolf, how you doing, bud?
Hans Wolf, hello.
Welcome to live chat. For the listeners out there, we got live chat. Come by, come out, hang out. Hans Wolf, how are you feeling about your cone? Did you watch the game over the weekend, the 3-3?
Hans Wolf, like me. Hans Wolf's even in worse shape than me.
Sebas is here. Mainz and Köln. I'm sorry. Like, our fan base is Mainzers and Kölschers. And it's like, oh, I'm sorry, you guys.
Yeah,
especially after the seasons they had last year. Yeah, my mind suck and might get relegated. I'm praying we somehow survive.
Yeah, mine's for so mine's. It's prayer. Getting late early. Yeah.
So Seba asks, you need prayer. Well, anything we said, still 9 rounds left. There's still some work to be had.
Yeah,
maybe
except
Bochum could slip.
I mean, we could definitely slip, but we have 25 points already. So if we, you know, if we get, if Bochum get like, I don't know, three more wins is probably enough.
David Riccio, Goat's not doing great. I've moved to Eintracht. Are you? Is Eintracht Frankfurt your secondary team?
It's always nice when you have some flexibility in your fandom, then you can adjust.
Yeah. I've got 3 or 4 different MLS jerseys in my closet, depending on where I go.
Yeah, we know you have that. You have a relative in every front office, so you can like you can make a case to support almost any team.
I just have to look far enough. All right, Eintracht Frankfurt, where my parents met, is where both of my sisters were born.
Mm.
Not Eintracht Frankfurt.
Six degrees of Stefan Schnitzel. There, no
I would have
team.
Been born there if my parents never left. I would have been a Frankfurter. So I've got connections to Eintracht. It would have been Frankenfurter.
Frankenfurter?
Speaking of dancers. Speaking of dancers, yeah. So I can look deep if I got my... I can look deep. But the other thing I want to talk about... So Bundesliga is what it is. Root three clubs, you know, Pellegrino Monterazzo doing pretty dang good. That game, Köln versus Mainz on April 27th. Yeah, the Nord gegen Elend. Was it Nord gegen Elend?
Nord gegen Elend derby. I mean, it could be very. It could also be completely meaningless. I guess it'll be important for the 16th place, probably.
We'll see. Well, we can't fast forward to that time. The weather will be nicer. Maybe the place on the table will be nicer. We'll see. Stefan Baumgart found himself a nice new club down in Hamburg, and they seem to be slowly picking themselves up. Huntsville.
We haven't discussed that your boy Glasner went to the Prem.
That's right. I'm really excited about
Crystal Palace.
He's at Crystal Palace. We'll see how he does. You know, it's a smaller club. But, it, you know, and it's also the English system. And I think the English system is more open to a one-man dictator-style role, because that is sort of like the role of the English manager. Versus in the German game, it's gotten really popular to have distinct roles, like the sport director versus the trainer, right? It's like, and where Oliver Glasner always butted heads with the sport directors, because he's from SV Reit, a little Austrian club where he was, you know, king, and they did well. And it's been hard for him to find that spot, and maybe Crystal Palace is the place where he can excel like that.
Perhaps,
again,
yeah.
You know.
Best of luck. Best of luck in the premise. Oh, ruthless. I don't know. We'll see. But Hans Wolf is saying, as I said last year, we have been the ideal example for a proper yo-yo club. You know, that is so funny because, you know, I was a Köln fan as a kid, and back then they were contenders. They were a European team. They were definitely not a yo-yo club. But I did actually, some guy in Bochum, who I used to work with, still owes me 500 marks. I guess that's like 250 euros these days.
I think it's 90 euros, right? Is that how much a mark was?
It was sort of roughly half, I guess, back in the day. A euro was like 2 marks, give or take. Mm-hmm. And he was a guy, and I was a Köln fan my entire childhood, and they never won anything anymore since 1978 is when they won the double. And then, anyway, this guy... at that point, this also was around that time that I was talking about my clubbing days. He was Udo Lattek. Remember Udo Lattek? Legendary German coach. They appointed him technical director in Köln. And this guy, this friend of mine at the time, he said, this is a great appointment, and this is going to completely turn things around for them, and they're going to win the Bundesliga again within the next 5 years. And I said, there's no chance of that. And I bet $500 marks,
That's big.
You know, was big for me at the time. But of course, you know, I couldn't collect until 5 years were up. And by that point, I had moved to New York and we had lost touch. And so I never collected on this, but it was obviously... That's when the yo-yo thing happened. So instead of winning the Bundesliga, like he predicted, they got relegated for the first time. And since then, they have in fact been a yo-yo club. But
probably at that time, Bayer Leverkusen were like a third division club.
Oh yeah, they were definitely an afterthought. Bayer Leverkusen, Bayer Uerdingen. There were two Bayers back then.
Bayer Uerdingen was the bigger club,
and
probably.
And Bayer Uerdingen was the better one then. Yeah, but that was obviously a long time ago. Now they're a proper yo-yo club, and it seems like they're going to be yo-yoing down, perhaps. Save us SS. Sorry, bro. I hope we defeat VfR Bochum. Hey, listen. If you're not going to beat us, who are you going to beat?
This will be a lot of fun, though. Hamburg and Mainz in the relegation promo game, that'll be a lot of fun. I look forward to that if that happens, which could very well happen. Because Hamburg is third, fourth. They're like slipping again. It's looking like Zampaoli and Holstein Kiel are running away with it. Find him on. We already talked about Bayern aren't doing well. There is a chance they won't win a title this season. But I think they're back to their old ways. Here's a question before we move on to our next topic. Let's say they just keep destroying and they go off and they win the UEFA Champions League. Does Thomas Tuchel then deserve to stay? Should they cancel the whole Tuchel's leaving thing?
Does he want to?
I mean, that wasn't the question. I'm sure he does because he got himself a title and he can go off to some other club and be the wacky dude he is. Is that me? Someone's beeping.
Oh, is that me? I got to turn my thing up. I don't think... I don't think he's staying. Well, I don't think they win the Champions League either.
Well, let's say he did.
If he beat
Manchester City in the Champions League final, well, they played confidently. Does that mean? And Thomas Müller's like, we did this because of Tuchel. He's the guy.
Well, that would create a pretty awkward situation for everybody involved. If the guy they decided to let go wins the Champions League for them. I don't have an answer. I think it's a hypothetical. I mean, I guess you could ask like what happens if Leverkusen collapses and they win the title and the Champions League.
Okay, Seba S, out of 9 games which are left, if they can win 5 of them, they'll definitely avoid relegation. That's true. But has Mainz even won 5 games all season?
No.
And we're 25 games. How are they going to win 5 games?
They've won 2, so they've won. This is why, you know, the math is deceptive. Obviously, it takes a lot to be with 9 games to go to be mathematically eliminated is almost impossible. But it's like, let's say you're right. Let's say they win these 5 games out of 9, which there's no indication that they can, but let's say they do, then they end up with 31 points. You don't think Bochum gets 6 more points? Union Berlin doesn't get 6 more points? I think they're still... I don't think that's true. I don't think they win those 5 games and they're guaranteed to not be relegated.
I think the sad reality is... I think you're going to have to just get ready for life in the Bundesliga 2 next year.
Well, I think they can. I think they could make it into the to 16th place if they win, and then the relegation is very much in favor. The relegation playoff favors the Bundesliga team, so that is so. There's still hope for sure. Not Darmstadt, probably not Darmstadt.
Darmstadt's there. Darmstadt's gone. So it's between Köln and Mainz fighting over that relegation spot.
Yeah, so that is going to be a big game.
Yeah, that is what we're looking at here. That's what we're looking at. Okay, so the next topic, unless we have other...
Yeah, what do you got? What do you got?
The big news out of Deutschland today, and it kind of piggybacks off the article last week that we discussed, was that although he hasn't announced the roster, we have a couple friendlies coming up against Netherlands and France, I believe. Is it France? I think it's France. Let's pretend it's France. Even though, didn't they just play France 2 months ago? They have 2 big games coming, Netherlands and another big team, to get ready for the Euros. And Sportbild and a couple of people on Twitter, like Florian Plattenhardt, have confirmed that in the squad, Julian Nagelsmann is including 4 players from VfB Stuttgart, a couple of them getting their debut. He's switching it up.
Mm-hmm.
We've got Fröhlich, who's been in before, but he's also bringing in Dennis Undav.
Yeah,
which is a good development.
He first came on my radar because I put him on my Premier League fantasy team last season when he was playing for Brighton, and he was good. He was a so I was So yeah, I put him on my brother's fantasy Bundesliga team this year, and I haven't checked, but I think he's done well for him too. Yeah, I'm an UNDAF. I'm an UNDAF fan.
That's what Julian Nagelsmann said. He said he checked this guy's Bjorn's fantasy team from last year, and he's like, he's right, he's on to something, and that's why Dennis UNDAF is part of it.
Listen. Can't be if he did that, it can't be worse than what's happening now.
I mean, that is a great way to bring him in. And the other two players are Maximilian Mittelstädt and Waldemar Anton.
Okay.
So he's bringing in the German contingent that's crushing in Stuttgart, and it's well-deserved.
It's not going to be all Toni Kroos. That's good.
And Toni Kroos will be there, too. And it is against France and Holland. Interesting. They played France. Did they play France in the Rudi Völler?
Yeah.
2 or 3 months
Well,
ago?
I think that's what it is. Nations League, right? They just got to...
Oh, right. I guess you're supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
What's France Nations League? I'll be honest with you. I don't follow the Nations League as tightly as maybe some other fans do.
It's the next big thing.
I guess, we didn't want to say. You said Bayern. You mentioned Bayern was failing this year. They did quite a number on your team over the weekend, Sebas. There was an 8-1 win over Mainz. Not an amazing.
Crushed. Yeah, even whatever. It's not Nations League. It's just a friendly. I'm completely
prepping for the Euros.
I just
right?
made that up. Yeah, there's nothing competitive. If Mainz, whatever hopes they had for their goal differential, definitely took a hit.
Yeah, not great. But I'm loving the shaking it up. I don't know when I think the announcement is the next couple of days with this by Wednesday, I believe. All the rosters, because USA has some friendlies, so they have to announce a roster. Germany, all the for the international break, the rosters are being announced on Wednesday. And this is the last roster before the summer tournaments.
Yeah,
so before the Euros, before
it's
Copa.
It's coming up quick.
You know, we didn't touch on this last week, and this falls under both the Germany hour and the USA hour, but it's mainly the USA hour. The United States released a 60-man preliminary roster.
Jimmy Sands is not on it.
Is that real?
Yeah.
Out of 60 guys?
I know.
But you know who is on it?
Who is?
John Brooks. John Anthony Brooks.
Oh, look at that.
However, if you look at the list, you'll see a 23-man roster alphabetically, and then another, 23-man roster alphabetically, clearly the A team and the B team, and then there are, two slots. I think it was two 26-man rosters or something. And then there are, two slots. And then you see John Brooks and then some other guy I've never heard of. Clearly, they're I don't think... My theory is Greg submitted 58 players. And the PR guy is like, oh, we got two free slots. Let's put John Brooks on there so we can quiet, so people can stop bringing up the fact that he's banned from the national team, which he is, and get people to quiet up. So that's my theory on that. John Brooks has scored a great goal over the weekend, by the way, for Hoffenheim.
Got a red card too, though, no?
Oh, is that true?
I think so.
I know I just saw the highlights, and I saw he saw a great goal from his header. And speaking of German-Americans, the main article on Kicker this evening is about Eintracht Frankfurt legend.
Oh, yeah, Timmy Chandler. I saw that.
Timmy Chandler.
He's a legend. I didn't know he was so highly regarded in Frankfurt. He's a legend.
Me neither. I mean, he's a club dude. He's been there for years.
Yeah,
I think he's
long
been there
time.
For his entire career. Right. Most of his career, at least. So good for him. But he sits on the bench a lot. He's like a vet.
He's not.
Although 2 or 3 seasons ago, when they were having a great season, he was playing a lot. And that's when there was a shout for maybe try to bring him back to the national team fold. However, Timmy Chandler is famous in Frankfurt for being a club guy. But on this side of the pond, he's famous for being the mercenary of mercenaries. And on last week, on Kicking It, about a month ago, it's great. Kicking It's great, by the way. I don't know. Again, yeah. This is more USA hour, but they did interview Jermaine Jones last week, which is also fun with a German.
Yeah.
Talk.
I saw that too.
And I think Jermaine Jones is a product of the stuff that Landon Donovan was talking about. He didn't want to name names, but he talked about all the German Americans and Icelandic Americans, like Mixed Discord and crap, or the Norwegian Americans or whatever, who were part of that team and quote unquote didn't care.
Mm.
And that's such a can of worms. And they talked about it, and then he had to be clear that it was not Jermaine Jones. And we as fans know it wasn't Jermaine Jones. However, although they never brought it by name, Timmy Chandler is the mayor
of those people.
The group of the kids who he didn't care.
Well, I feel like Mix Discarude It's not that he didn't. He just like never really fully woke up like his entire career. Like, I don't think this was even a. It wasn't about U.S. versus. I mean, when he came to NYCFC, it was kind of a coup, you know, like back then, because he was a hot ticket for the men's national team, and he came as non-DP, and it literally took us like 3 years to realize he's just not that good. Like, we were. For a long time, it was like, oh, he's playing out of position. The coach is bad. They don't know where to put him. But he turns out he was just not that good. David Riccio is saying, unbelievable, Chandler's still playing. He's only 33. I was surprised by this, too. He's only 33 years old. It seems like he should be older, but he's not.
When I went to see Eintracht Frankfurt versus Mainz a season or two ago, and he was there warming up. And I was like, oh, yeah. Timmy Chandler's still here. There's a photo of him. And here's just a little sweet note from Seba S. They haven't been relegated in 10 years, is referring to Mainz, so I have hope.
Well,
like Morgan Freeman in Shawshank Redemption, I hope.
But I think the hope is legit, because that 16th place gets you a relegation playoff against the head cases of Hamburg, perhaps, and like that's I fancy your chances in that, so... It's not over. It's not over for Mainz or Köln or Darmstadt, but two of them are probably going down. But maybe Bochum will not get another point, and then anyway, moving on.
I just wish it was two different clubs. They didn't have to divide our schnitzel cups in half so much. So we got to talk about more Bundesliga 2 next season, if that's the case, which I guess we're prepared to. Which brings up a question. Seba asks, where do you watch Bundesliga 2 in the United States? ESPN Plus.
Do they have game. They have second? They have Bundesliga 2? They used to have a lot of it.
It's game of the week, I think. I want to say it's only one, maybe two games a week. I think it's just game of the week. So as far as other ways to watch it, you know what's weird? I think you can watch the third and fourth division free via an app. I've done that before.
Interesting.
And the first division we have in entirety. The one that we don't have is the second division.
Who are you watching in the third and fourth?
I think I watched Energie Cottbus one, because I was just testing the technology. I was like, what's this like? And it's much like a USL game. The cameras are there. The coaches are there. It was a rough game. It was like a fourth division game with Energie Cottbus versus... Jan Regensburg, I think, or something.
Two teams that I have heard of.
Yeah. And they might have not been playing. I would have just been thinking of what our fourth division team is. When I was in high school, I had a Bundesliga website that I managed. I don't think anyone ever went on. It was called the German American Bundesliga Supporters. And I tracked Yanks Abroad that year. This was 2003. So this was back in the day. And the club in Germany that had the most Americans was a club called the Sportfreunde Siegen, which I think is a fourth or fifth division club. Then it was like a third division club. And it's in Siegen. They play on a field with like a couple bleachers. You know what I mean? It's not like a mega super stadium or anything like that. And for whatever reason, they had like three or four different Americans right out of college going over there playing. So shout out to Sportfreunde.
Leave the kids alone. Come on.
Leave the kids alone. How is Heidenheim better than Mainz, bro? I thought Heidenheim was going to get really good. You know, Heidenheim's one of those teams that happens in soccer, not just the Bundesliga, where like the surprise team comes up and they pack quite a punch, right? And then they hit that first division hard. However, then what usually happens is they have quite the sophomore slump.
Yeah, that's often the case. Yeah, I was just going to say the same thing. Let's see what happens to them next year. But they seem pretty safe right now. I mean, it also has to be said, the outlier for the season is that there's three teams who are really significantly worse than everybody else. Like, it's unusual for there to be three teams this late in the season that average so much under a point per game. Like, that's not usually what happens. So there is also everybody else... is, you know, the Bochums and the Heidenheims of the world are looking better than they would otherwise. Because if either even just one, Köln or Mainz, was closer to a point per game, all of these teams would be in the midst of it. You know, would be in the midst of the relegation battle, like Heidenheim, Gladbach, Wolfsburg, Union. Everybody would still be... But because the bottom three are so bad... Heidenheim can feel relatively safe.
Yeah, and, you know, between Union Berlin, Bochum, Köln, and Mainz, you know, Mainz and Bochum may be more even-footed. But, you know, Köln's a Traditionsverein, traditional club. So I'm surprised they're the bottom of the pack.
Mm, you're doing Derek Ray there. It's nice.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, do you think he's the reason they're failing?
No, you were like doing the Traditionsverein, a traditional, you know, and then immediately using the German word and then immediately translating it. That's the Derek Ray move.
I'm in German classes right now, so it's always in my head say it in German and then translate into English, you know. That's some sort
How's that going? You had some struggles. We spent probably more time than we should analyzing your exercises. Yeah.
I purposely tried not to. They work, by the way. All the suggestions you gave me were marked as wrong, but that was just a glitch in the system. They were correct.
Oh, okay. Oh, I'm glad. So my German is okay.
Yeah, German was fine. Oof. Same with my mom. She's like, why was that wrong? And then I finally took my teacher. I got a moment with my teacher, and he looked at it. He's like, oh, no, it's correct. Just think you put a period in the system.
Oh, good, whatever. Good.
That's
good.
The age of online studying. The minute you put it in, it's like,
anything goes. That's funny.
You have wait a week until you learn it's a technical glitch or if it's actually wrong. But anywho, we won't get into. I did watch a really good German movie last week. We don't have to get into that because it's off topic.
It was nice to see Sandra Hüller in German acting legend in the Oscars last night, but both in two films. What's that?
This is the thing I did want to bring up. The Oscars were this weekend. I live in Hollywood. I went to an Oscar party last night, and this is part of trivia from a couple weeks ago in German class. Only one German has ever won an Academy Award for acting in the entire history of the Oscars, which I thought was a little surprising. And the reality is Bjorn, zero Germans have won Academy Awards in the history of the Academy Awards.
Because Klaus Maria Brandau is not German?
Did she not? Who is she? Did she win?
No, it's a person.
It was a man. Well, the only winner, I'm sure there were plenty of nominees, but the only winner
was Austrian, right? What?
It was Austrian. Austrians have won, Swiss have won, but the only German winner is Emil Jannings.
Wow, okay.
And he won it in like 39 or whatever that was. In the day. He won it back in the day. But the fun trivia fact about that was he did not win the Academy Award that year. He was the second. He was voted second place in that category.
Mm.
I think this was for Der Blaue Engel, maybe.
The Marlene Dietrich classic.
Right. I think maybe it was that movie. I've been mixing it up, so I apologize in the facts. Google it. But the one fact you need to take from this is the winner that year was Rin Tin Tin.
Oh, the dog?
The dog. The dog won the most votes. Everyone wanted the dog to win the Academy Award for Best Actor, but they're like, we can't give it to a dog. Who was second place? Second place, Emil Jannings, baby, default.
For his roles in The Last Command and The Way of All Flesh. Because I guess back then they would just give, you know, because people would be in many movies every given year, so it would just be... Yeah. Huh. Well, that's interesting. I was happy to see Sandra Hüller on TV yesterday. Toni Erdmann is like one of my favorite German movies of all time. Really recommend it. It's very hard to get people to watch. It's like, oh, it's a German comedy. It's 3 hours long. People are like, okay, yeah, thank you. But anyone that I have gotten to watch it has been into it. So
It's on my list. I still need to watch it. I do have it on my server here. I can watch it. David Riccio finally watched Wings of Desire. Also a great movie.
Oh, Vendendas, Der Himmel über Berlin.
Berlin came out in 89, I think. And then if you want to get something real crazy, there was an American remake starring Nicolas Cage that came out in 1998.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That was not...
it's a very different movie.
Not good. This is not recommended.
It's a rom-com loose with Dennis Franz, Meg Ryan, and Nicolas Cage called City of Angels. It's a very loose rip-off of Wings of Desire. Cool. Well, anywho... We'll see in about 5-10 minutes. We're going to hop over to the MLS section. We've got stuff to talk about.
Lots State of stuff. So many stuff. Games in MLS.
So many.
Man, my team is just... Wow.
My team's doing very well. Your team is doing less well.
It continues. The trends of last week have amplified. I got to check if our coach is still our coach. Got to keep... Anyway, we'll see you and see you over there.
Bucket hats? Still in development? What are we talking about? We got merch. We got
Oh, bucket hats. Bucket hats are coming.
Bucket hats soon. In development.
They're in development. The bucket hat saga will continue. I have things to say about that. Maybe I'll say that for next week. It's hard to design a bucket hat.
Okay, we got all the time in the world. We're about quality, not speed or quantity.
That's true.
We're about quality. All right, tschüss. See you guys in USA Hour. If not, tschüss. Tschüss.